Who will win the 2027 Rugby World Cup? With the six pools now revealed, we can fully try to figure out who will play who. And in this episode, I'm going to give you my predictions for what will happen in 2 years' time. Before we start, may I encourage you to get hold of my book, How to Become a Sports Journalist. I've been in this industry for more than 20 years, guys, and in this book I offer advice and tips for aspiring journalists as well as those who are in a rut mid-career. I think it'll make a great Christmas present, and it's available on Amazon. The link is in the description area below. So let's begin by looking at each of the pools and identifying who I think will advance. Pool A, New Zealand, Australia, Chile, and Hong Kong. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who thinks it won't be the All Blacks and Wallabies. We can debate in what order. The thing I am always wary of is how a host nation often lifts itself. Yes, the Aussies are not very strong at the moment, but they have nearly 2 years to improve, and I have no doubt they will lift themselves for this home World Cup. They will likely play above themselves. They'll have a home crowd roaring them on, and there will be a lot of goodwill and euphoria that will help carry the team in difficult moments. I'm not saying that they'll beat the Kiwis, but I am saying it is certainly not beyond the realms of possibility. Pool B should be the Springboks in first place, with Italy prevailing over Georgia for second spot. I do not foresee Romania winning any of their games. This might also be a good time to bring up the Georgians and the issue of finishing third. So four of the third place teams will also go through to the knockout round. The way I see it is the ideal scenario is to have a very weak team in your pool, and then at least one of the band 1 and band 2 teams need to be a little closer to your level. Points difference is going to be very important because you don't really get a lot of draws in rugby. So I will assume that the third place teams lose two games and win one. To that extent, you can expect Georgia to beat Romania, I would say anyway, and they are good enough to avoid being thrashed by us. When I say thrashed, I'm talking 70, 80 points or more. And they should be good enough to keep the score somewhat low against Italy. Not forgetting, they have enough tools to pull off an upset. Similarly, you look at Pool A, and you can see Chile whipping Hong Kong. But you can also see Australia and New Zealand decimating their points difference. So I don't think the third place team from Pool A will advance. Let's move on to Pool C. I foresee Argentina winning this pool. Fiji surely finished second here, and then Spain might fancy their chances at reaching the last 16. Canada have gone from 1991 World Cup quarterfinalists to struggling to qualify these days. The Spaniards are a team on the up and have plenty of potential too. I think the Iberian nation will have enough in them to finish as one of those four third place sides to go through. What about Pool D? Right now, Ireland start as favourites to finish ahead of Scotland, but in 2 years' time, that could be a different scenario. That's what makes this pool so interesting for me. Similarly interesting is that Uruguay are probably the most improved rugby nation on earth in the last decade. Major League Rugby has played a big role in taking them from being amateurs to professionals. Sure, MLR isn't the strongest league, but it does mean Los Terros have full-time professionals, and that always helps. Throw in Super Rugby Americas, and you can see why rugby in that part of the world is on the rise. Watch out in the coming years for teams like Brazil and Paraguay possibly qualifying for the World Cup. That said, Portugal showed us in 2023 that they are not too shabby themselves. I see an intriguing battle for first place and for third place in this pool. I'll play it safe for now and predict Ireland, Scotland, Uruguay and Portugal in that order. Let's move on to Pool E. Six Nations champions France have it good here, in my opinion. You'd expect them to beat Japan, the USA and Samoa with relative comfort. And, as you'll see a little later, certainly for the top six seeded teams, Pools E and F were the jackpot in terms of easiness. I'll go with Japan to finish second, and I think Samoa will come right and pip the USA to third. And in Pool F, England right now will be thrilled. A weak Wales, as well as tame Tonga and Zimbabwe, who are back at the tournament for the first time since 1991, are their opponents. Great to see our neighbours back at the tournament. Tonga is the match that they'll be targeting, but again, I think England will probably overpower them, and there's no guarantee Wales finish second. Not right now, anyway. But let's assume Steve Tandy does turn things around, even if just a little. And having given this some thought, I'm convinced the third place team from Pool A won't advance. And I'm going to select Pool D as the other one, where I think the third place side will not have enough points or points difference to make it through. Having said all of that, we all know there will be upsets along the way that will throw all our predictions into utter chaos. Even so, this is what I've got for the last 16. Pool A winner versus a third place team from either Pool C, E or F. So I've got that as New Zealand versus Spain, Samoa or Tonga. The Pool B winner will take on a third place team from either Pool D, E or F. I've already written off Pool D in this case. So for me, that will then be South Africa versus Samoa or Tonga. Pool C and F runners-up will meet. So that's Fiji versus Wales in my book. And the Pool E winner will face the Pool D runner-up, and I've got that as France v Scotland. On the other side of the draw, the Pool A and E runners-up face each other. I've got that as Australia v Japan. The Pool F winner takes on the Pool B runner-up. That's England v Italy in my book. The Pool C winner, who I have as Argentina, is up against the third place team from Pool A, E or F. I've already disregarded the third side from Pool A. So it's either Samoa or Tonga. And then the Pool D winner will play the team that finishes third, either from Pool B, E or F. So that's going to be Ireland versus Georgia, Samoa or Tonga. At least that's what I think. Which is what this episode is all about. If we look at that lineup, some are obvious, sure, but there is room for an upset or two. Again, give Steve Tandy two more years, and that Fiji-Wales match, which already looks appetizing even now, could be one of the matches of the tournament. France v Scotland is a match that you would not bet your house on. You'd back the hosts to beat Japan, right? Well, now throw in the Eddie Jones factor and the narrative of their former coach coming back to haunt them and knock them out of their own World Cup, and all of a sudden, some people might not be feeling so comfortable. You'd expect England to beat Italy, yes, but not without a fight. And then I think Argentina and Ireland shouldn't have too many problems, regardless of who they play. That also means that, at long last, the Irish finally win a Rugby World Cup knockout match. Okay, so I'm playing it safe again with my predictions, in this instance, as far as the last 16 goes, and now we move into the quarterfinals, and this is where we may have some disagreements. I've got New Zealand v South Africa and Fiji against France on one side of the draw, and on the other side, I'm going to have to go with Australia against England and Argentina meeting Ireland. This is probably the part of the tournament where things like current form starts going out of the window and you start looking at fatigue, psychological aspects, and so on. Both the Springboks and All Blacks will have had reasonably straightforward paths to this point. Don't forget the Wallabies could be playing us here if they win their pool match against the All Blacks, although that's not what I've predicted here. And so to gain revenge for the 2003 quarterfinal defeat, I'm calling us to put another one over the old enemy here. Just before we continue, one of the biggest criticisms I've seen has been the fact that South Africa and New Zealand are on a quarterfinal collision course. It has rightly been asked, what is the point of the rankings if one and two are not kept apart? Surely one and two should be on opposite sides of the draw. I fully agree with that. It would have been easy to keep one and two on opposite sides, and you can also keep three and four on opposite sides. Instead, we now face the very real prospect of having South Africa, New Zealand, and France all on the same side of the draw. Speaking of Le Bleu, you'd expect them to beat Fiji in the other quarterfinal on this side of the draw. Now, I know a lot of people will be saying England are the favourites to beat Australia, but factor in everything I said earlier, plus the fact that I've predicted them to lose to the Kiwis in the pool stage, and my theory has to allow for them to have at least one big game in them. And so this is where they lift themselves and upset the English. In the other quarterfinal, on current form, no doubt for me, Argentina wins. And then it's a South Africa that drained themselves to beat the All Blacks against France, who probably breezed past Fiji. We saw what happened in 2023 when we gave it everything to beat France in the quarterfinals and then stumbled in our semi-final against England. That could repeat itself here. But bear in mind, the way that Dr. Rassie Erasmus rotates his team, you just know there'll be 4, 5, 6 changes, and it won't affect the strength of the team. And, given that this is a Springbok-centric channel, I'm going to have to stick with our boys. But know that I genuinely believe it could go either way. And on the other side, you have a rampant host nation now with a bit of momentum behind them after knocking out England, a match that they probably were not expected to win, against a very good Argentina side. I would love to say Los Pumas reached their first World Cup final here, but I fancy that that momentum and euphoria might be enough to carry the Wallabies. And so I am calling a Springboks Australia Rugby World Cup final. And given how much pain we have endured in Australia during the Tri Nations and Rugby Championship era, and let's be honest, our record over there is quite poor. In fact, it's abysmal. We've hardly ever won there over the years. You can almost count on one hand how many times we've gone to Australia in the professional era and actually beaten the Wallabies there. And suddenly you start to think that the host nation could actually pull this off. But this is where I say no. Yes, the host nation can often play above themselves. I'm clearly expecting them to do exactly that. The crowd will carry them at times, and it's going to help them find an extra 10%, especially when they need it. But this is not exactly a vintage Wallaby side. Yes, they have been punching above their weight, and they beat us at Ellis Park, as we saw. I'm counting on them to do the same thing against England in a quarterfinal here, and then dig deep against Argentina in the semifinals. But they are going to find that they don't have a spade big enough to dig against us. And I make us the first team ever to win the Rugby World Cup 3 times in a row. I will add that I'd back us to beat Argentina too in a final, and I would actually bet on France to beat the Wallabies in a final, and I think that the French would probably beat the South Americans in the final as well. Just giving you a couple of additional scenarios that could be alternative to what I'm saying here, bearing in mind that those are possible scenarios in any event. There are a few other possibilities too. I mean, the All Blacks could beat us and get to the final, but I've shared with you here what I think will happen. How about you? What do you think will happen? Do you also see the Springboks going all the way to win a third World Cup in a row? Or do you think someone will stop us, whether it's New Zealand, France, Argentina, England, or Australia? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great benefits to be had. For example, you could get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store. You could win yourself the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You could also get quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches and tactics and the like, and you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. In order to do that, you need to head on over to my Patreon page. The link is in the description area below. You can sign up for as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean, and it goes all the way up to $100 per month. Obviously, it depends on what tier you select and what kind of benefits you might get. But if you used to work at Eskom and they gave you a nice bonus when you left, then you know what? Why don't you go for that $100 per month option? Whatever you decide to do, I'll be very, very grateful for your support, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.